to go a little old school this morning, and it's not really old school, it's just a reminder. I want to invite your attention to Acts, the 8th chapter, and we want to be educated because I think when we go too long, thank you, Brother Bill, when we go too long without talking about some things, we forget some things and we let them slip, as the Bible talks, thank you, that at any time we let them slip. We don't want to let certain things slip. I want you to read Acts chapter 8. Let's get into this. We're going to read verse 26 to verse 36. And we'll stop at verse 36, but we'll deal with that whole context. Acts chapter 8, and it should be out of the New American Standard Bible. We want you to follow with me. We just got a few slides. We need to do this because we need to understand some things. This morning, I want to talk about, I heard it, I believe it, now what? That's what I want to talk about. I heard it, I believe it, now what? This will be to those of you who don't need this. This will be a teaching tool for you to teach somebody else. Christians today just bring people to church. But we got to do more than bring people to church. We got to teach them. You got relatives that will not hear well done because unless you teach them, unless you bring them to Jesus, they're not going to see Jesus. And there is no buddy pass when it comes to that final day. There are no buddy passes. God ain't letting somebody else through the gate and to live with him eternally based on who you are. Based on, you know, that's my cousin, Lord, can we get the hookup? No, that's not how it works. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You've got to confess him for yourself. Salvation is, watch this, it's for everybody, but it's very personal. And if you don't take it personal, then you don't take Christ personal. And if you don't take Christ personal, Jesus says, if you don't confess, if you deny me, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and verse 33. And so this is very important to those of us who are already saved. It'll be a teaching tool. To those of us who may not know, this will be an educational expedition for you. So the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse number 26, what?
And the angel of the Lord.
Angel of the Lord.
Spoke to
Philip. Spoke to Philip and said what?
Arise.
Arise.
And go toward the south.
Go to the south.
Unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem.
Read.
Unto Gaza, which is desert.
Into Gaza, which is desert. Read.
And he rose and went.
Rose and went.
And behold, a man of Ethiopia.
A man of Ethiopia.
And Enoch.
Uh-huh.
A great authority under Candace Queen.
Read.
Under the Ethiopians.
Uh-huh.
Who had the charge of all the treasure.
He was in charge of all of her treasure.
And had to come to Jerusalem.
Guess what he had done? He had come to Jerusalem for what?
To worship.
To worship. So this man was some kind of Jew, whether it be by proselyte or whether it be born Jew. This black man, this African Israelite, goes to Jerusalem to worship, and he's coming back from worship. He was already religious. He was already a religious man. He was already around church people. He was already affiliated with God to some degree. The Bible says what?
He was returning.
Uh-huh.
And sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet.
He was reading Isaiah or Isaiah the prophet. Read.
Then the Spirit said unto Philip.
Spirit said unto the preacher, whose name was Philip, read.
Go near.
I need you to go.
And join thyself.
Join yourself.
To this chariot.
To this chariot. Read.
And Philip ran.
Philip ran up, heard him reading. Read.
The prophet Isaiah and said.
And he asked what?
Understandest thou what as I read?
Do you understand what you're reading? Now, I need to tell you that Bibles weren't plentiful in this time. The Bible of that time was the Old Testament. The way Bibles were written were not like today where that had a printer, the Gideons, and you go, you send it to the printer and ink is involved. The way scripture and the Bible of that day was written is it took a guy whose position, his position, he was called a scribe. Everybody say a scribe. And so a scribe had to write, handwrite. There were no typewriters. There was no Microsoft Word. There was no other word program. There was no email. There was no electronic transmission. He had to write. So for this man to come away with one of the scrolls in that time, you had to pay for that. You had to pay for that. So this man had to pay to get the scrolls. They weren't just giving them out like they weren't just giving them out like invitations somewhere. Like today we can go to a store. No. He was coming back from Jerusalem, got a hold to the scroll. He tried to get as close to God as possible because he couldn't get as close as the rest of the Jews. Number one, he was Ethiopian. He was not necessarily a Gentile. We know he wasn't because Cornelius was the first Gentile. But also, he was a eunuch, and according to the law, if you had any part of your body cut off, you couldn't even come inside the church building. You had to worship in the foyer. That was according to the law, Deuteronomy chapter 22 and 1. And so he was coming back from worship. He had the scroll. Apparently, a man that had enough financial girth to buy the scroll, to pay money for the scroll, because a scribe had to write it. What does the Bible say?
And he said,
what?
How can I
understand?
Shall guide me.
Except somebody guide me. I need, the only way I understand, I need some help. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Read.
The place of the scripture.
Now he was reading a place in the scripture that says what?
How was led a sheep to the slaughter.
He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb
before
its sharer is silent, so he opened or does not open his mouth. Read.
In his humiliation.
In his humiliation.
His judgment was taken away.
His judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. Read.
And Enoch answered Philip.
And the eunuch answered Philip and said what?
I pray thee.
Who is this Isaiah speaking about? Is he talking about something that's going to happen to himself or somebody else? Read.
Then Philip opened his mouth.
Philip opened his mouth.
And began at the same scripture.
And began at the same scripture, which is Isaiah 53.
And preached unto Jesus.
And preached unto him Jesus, or preached Jesus to him. Read.
And as he went away.
As they went along. Now, you got to catch this. As they went along the road. They came to some water. You see this? He preaches Jesus. He's in the chariot. Apparently, the Ethiopian eunuch, when a eunuch, everybody say eunuch. I know I've preached this before, but everybody wasn't here then. A eunuch is somebody who is a castrated man. He was castrated, okay? He worked with the queen. He worked under the Queen Candace of the Ethiopians. In that time. So he worked with the queen. He was a castrated man. Okay? Which makes sense, right? Because the safest people for the king to have around his wife. Does that make sense? Safest people. Amen. The king, okay, you got some helpers. Well, I need some. You got some male helpers. And they would do this, and those guys could get a job that other people couldn't get. You got to work close to the queen because there's only so close you can come to the queen because you have been disabled. So this disabled man, right? The Bible says apparently he's doing financially well enough because he's not driving the chariot. He wasn't driving Mrs. Daisy. He had somebody riding or driving the chariot because he commanded the chariot. This was a black man with authority. Now, I don't mean to make it racial, but I need us to know we have a presence in Scripture. Okay, let me. I don't want to go there. We have a presence in Scripture. He commanded the chariot to stand still. But first he says, see, here is water. And here's the question he asks. What's stopping me from being baptized? Now I need to, now that's where we're gonna come back to that in just a moment. Just a moment. I need to talk about baptism.
Come on now.
Because in our history, we have over-talked baptism so much and under-talked everything else that now we're talking up everything else and may not be talking about baptism enough.
Right.
And so we have to be careful to keep a balance between the two. And so we have here a eunuch who heard it explained to him about Jesus. The next thing we need to find, we'll find out, is that he believed it. But then he said, see, here's water. What's stopping me from doing what?
Being baptized.
Being baptized. That word baptizo means an immersion. It means to dip. It means to go under. What's stopping me from going under? So let's look at the command. The command to baptize. Now we're going to watch this. You got to watch this. If you don't watch this, you'll miss it. You'll think that's real basic. Yeah, it is. But some of us don't have the basic stuff because we think we know it when we're listening to it. If you think you know it when you're listening to it, you'll miss it every time. And leave with what you came in with. Let's be educated. Watch this. There is a command to baptize. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18 through 20. This is a command straight from Jesus to baptize. Come here, Jalen. Your name, Jalen? You're a twin. Which one are you? Jalen? There's a command to baptize. I want to give you the visual because in doing the visual, I'm showing you what baptism is not. There's a command to baptize. Not a command to baptize. I need.
Oh, I got it.
I want to be very clear here, because we heard this, but everything we heard wasn't tradition. So we got to get this stuff. There's a command. Jesus says, Matthew 18. I'm not going to do you again. I'll do it again. To baptize, not to baptize, because baptizo means to dip, to emerge, to submerge.
Yeah.
Look at what Jesus says. Watch the command to baptize. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Bible says what?
And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying,
yeah,
all authority has been given unto me,
yeah,
in heaven and on earth.
Uh-huh.
Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations,
now watch
baptizing
this.
Them
all
in the name of the Father.
Authority has been given
Son.
To me in heaven and in earth. Turn his mic down so it's not louder than mine. In heaven and in earth. He's going to keep going. He said, he got mic strength. Turn his mic strength down. In heaven and in earth. Read.
In the name of the Father.
No, go back.
Okay. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations.
Make
baptizing them.
Disciples. Now watch this. I need to tell you. The command of to baptize is preceded with a command to make disciples. Are you understanding this? He says, go and make disciples. A disciple is a follower. That's the first command. The command to baptize is preceded with the command of making a disciple. Then he says, baptizing who?
Them.
Them. Now, who are you baptizing? Disciples. You're not baptizing people just to get your numbers up at the church. The command is to make disciples, the people who are following, who buy into Jesus. Because if you don't buy into Jesus, it doesn't matter how many times you're submerged, you're still not a disciple. You're having a miserable Sunday. I know, man, I know. You shouldn't have sat in the front next to my daughter. You shouldn't have did that. Now you got to pay. You got to pay, Jack. You thought I'm going to chill with the preacher's daughter right here. No, you're going to chill with the preacher this morning. Okay, now watch this. It is preceded with the command to make disciples. He's talking to his apostles, right? Ultimately, to all of us. I need you to know that it's just not my job to make disciples. See, we got to break this spiritual lethargy we have where we think evangelism is bringing somebody to church. You got to make disciples. Okay, so now watch this. Baptizing them in the name
of the Father.
Of the Father.
And the Son.
Why you look like you about to cry, man? Now, if you cry, you definitely can't sit next to my daughter. Man up, man up. Baptizing them. Good? Good. In the name of the Father. So you see here, there's a command, watch this, to baptize. That's called active. That's the active, the command to do it. But guess what? We're not, Jesus didn't command them to take people by force. So not only is there the active command, but there is the command to be baptized subsequent to faith. So watch this. Those who are saved have the command to baptize subsequent or after making disciples. Those who are not saved have the command to be baptized, which is passive. Okay, go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. What's the command to be? So what do we have first? We have the active, which is what? The command to what? To baptize. My command is I got baptized, right? The passive in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the Bible says what?
Then Peter said unto them. Repent.
Repent.
And be baptized.
Be baptized. Be baptized. Do you see this? So on one hand, you have the command to baptize. And on the other hand, you have the person who believes who has the command to be baptized. This is passive because he's not commanded to baptize himself. So to fulfill the command to be baptized, he has to be passive or surrender. The very act logistically of baptism is an act where the person surrenders control. If he is baptized because he believes, he's got to surrender control. I've got to baptize him, which means he has to surrender. He has to do the same thing that Jesus did when they crucified him and they buried him and he got up. Let me tell you something. Jesus surrendered control. How do you know? He stood before Pilate and Pilate said, "Don't you know I have the power to save your life? Or to take your life?" Jesus says, "You don't have the power to save my life or take it. I watch this. You don't take my life. I lay it." Passive surrendering. Y'all are with me? Are you understanding this?
Yes, sir. Right.
So there is the command. You can sit down now. Thanks. I hit you up with five later. Sit in the front row. There's the command. I was just joking, but that's good. That's good. That's cool. There's the command to be baptized. That command is subsequent. Or subsequent to that command is faith. So we don't baptize people who aren't disciples. And we don't baptize people that don't believe. Repentance is personal. I can't see you repent. Because repentance takes place where? So I can't see that. But that confession you make is based on what you believe. So watch this. The other side to that is if I do baptize somebody that doesn't believe, the baptism loses complete significance. And gets no credit in heaven. Okay, let me help you. You know, there's a movie about a little boy, little girl, and little boy loved the little girl and bought her a ring pop. I don't know what movie it was, but it was a cute little scene at the beginning of the movie. Will you marry me? I mean, with a ring pop, a lollipop shaped like a ring, right? Will you be my wife? I will. And then got another friend. I now pronounce you man and wife. Now, if he grow up and start dating somebody else, he didn't break a covenant. Why isn't that binding? A little ceremony and everything. Let's just say somebody writes up, one of his little friends writes up a little contract. Words misspelled, but a little contract. It's not binding. He don't know what, they don't really know what they're doing. We don't even stop them from playing like that. We say, oh, that's cute. But you grow up later in life, you meet somebody, you're dating them, you're courting them, you're talking to them. That same question takes a different perspective when you understand. And there are a lot of people that got baptized like the little boy with the ring pop. They didn't understand. To that I say, that's cute. That's fine. You go on to church. But if you, for it to have heavenly significance, you have to understand. That's why in this text, the question was asked the eunuch, do you understand what you are reading? Well, I got baptized. I was 5. Did you understand? Do you know the significant change that happened in your life as a result of your faith in Christ? Then that's like ring pop. You now watch this. If that little kid grows up and fills out an application for credit, and the question asks, are you married or single? And he puts married, based upon that experience he had when he didn't understand, he would be held and indicted on falsifying information. Because it didn't have any significance. It was not binding. And baptism is not to be gone into without a prior faith and a prior understanding of what Jesus did on the cross and the significance of what you're about to do. So if you're sitting in this audience and you were baptized at 4 or baptized at 5, baptism is for believers, and you got to understand what you're believing. Amen? Amen. Baptism is passive and active. Why? As I just said, just as Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was passive and active, he went to the cross active, but he was nailed on it passive. Are you understanding that? He went to the cross active, but he was nailed on it passive. They took him, watch this, he took him off the cross and buried him passive. Are you understanding this? They put him in a tomb, passive. 3 days later, God raised him up. Watch this, active and passive. Because he said before he died, if I be lifted up. No, that's not it. I got one even better. Destroy this temple. And in 3 days, watch this, I will raise it up again. Why is it active and passive? Watch this. Because in the resurrection, Jesus operates as man and God. That's why he can say, that's why we can say God raised them up, and that's why Jesus can say, I'll raise them up. Right. Y'all understanding this? That's why we can say God raised them from the dead. But then Jesus says, tear down this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Because he wasn't just man, he was God. He was in on his own resurrection. Yes, oh, yes, God. Sir. Okay. Yes, does that make sense? Say amen. Amen. the symbolic parallel of baptism. We're almost done. Go to Romans chapter 6. Learn. Learn. I see you snorers in here. You're so obvious. Can you be a little sophisticated with your snore? Cough it out. Right? Yawn it out. Stretch it out. Don't just do that Lion King snore. Like, come on now. Don't be so obvious. Fly might fly in your mouth. You catch the Holy Ghost. Okay, just playing. Watch this. Romans 6. Watch the parallel. Watch the parallel. Bible says in Romans 6. What shall we say then?
Read. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin?
Should we keep on sinning so that grace may abound? Read.
Grace. May it never be.
Uh-huh.
How shall we who died in sin live in it?
Drop down to verse 3 for sake of time. Read.
Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized
Paul is writing to the church in Rome. All of us have been baptized into his death. Baptized into his death. Watch this. Read. So you got death. Read.
Therefore, we have been buried with him.
Because we died to sin, we are buried with him in what?
Through baptism.
Baptism, death, baptism, burial. By baptism, read.
Into death.
Into death.
So that as Christ was raised from the dead.
It is. As Christ was raised.
Through the glory
of
the
Father. You don't get to rise with Christ unless you die with Christ and unless you're buried with Christ. Baptism, watch this, is a reenactment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Come on over here. Come on over here. Come on. Come on. Same guy. Come on, Josh. Jalen. Come on. You die to sin. It's a conscience conviction. You are buried into death by baptism, buried with him in baptism. That like as Christ was what? Read the text. He's struggling. Read the text. That like as Christ
the Father
was raised
in the newness of life.
By the glory of the Father. Even so, you watch this. Death, burial, resurrection. It's a parallel, symbolic reenactment based on faith of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Does that make sense? And if you want to have the great resurrection, you got to have a death, burial, and resurrection. Watch this. After being a believer, you got to believe first. You got to be a believer. Baptism is for believers. Now watch this. If you believe and you are some reason don't want to be baptized, then your faith is not full. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your faith is not full. And I don't know any reason why somebody who believes wouldn't want to be baptized. You can sit down, man. No more. You can sit next. You can sit in your, where you were. Sit where you were. Oh, no. I done took away. Man. My daughter looking at me all mean-like. You better look straight ahead. Okay. Let's finish this. Our case for baptism. You see this? What we read. A rhetorical question answered by action. Verse 36. See? Here is water. Watch this. What does hinder me from being baptized? It was both rhetorical and actual. Apparently, Philip told him not only about Jesus, but about what Jesus said. Remember, the command was make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The narrative of the text says he taught Jesus unto him. He teaches Jesus, and somehow, with the narrative only saying he taught Jesus, the eunuch and Philip are riding in the chariot. He sees water, and he notices water, and he asks the question, what's stopping me from being baptized? Now, verse 37 is not some of them, is not in many of your contemporary versions. There are some disagreements and conjectures as to whether or not that was in the original text. When Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Some of your versions will say it's not in the original manuscripts, but you don't have to be there. You know why? Because this man is not being coerced. He noticed the water. He said, here it is. And he asked, what's stopping me from being baptized based upon believing what Philip told him about Jesus? Is this making sense? This will help you in communicating to somebody else. And he says, the text says, they went down, read. He commanded the chariot.
He ordered the chariot to stop.
He ordered the chariot
to stop. And they both went down into the water.
They both went down in the water.
Philip as well as the eunuch. And he baptized him.
Watch this.
When they came
and
up.
So watch this. What you have is in one act are two people keeping a command. Philip is keeping a command. Because the command is passive and active. And the command is to baptize. The eunuch is keeping a command because he is being baptized. So the church is supposed to baptize those who believe and are willing to keep the command of being baptized. And the Bible says they both went down in the water and they came up out of the water and what?
And the Lord snatched Philip away.
Snatched Philip away.
And the eunuch no longer saw him but went on his way rejoicing.
All in response to hearing about Jesus. The last frame of this lesson simply says this. You heard? Do you believe? Now what? You heard Jesus' word and the fact that he died for you, took your place so that you can be saved, so that you can be covered in his righteousness. You hear that? Yeah, even if you come on Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter, we talk about that on Easter. He died. He got up, took our place. You say you believe. Now what? The eunuch said, see, here is water. I hear, I believe. Look, what's stopping me? Let's do this. Let's do this now. Stand to your feet. You've heard. You believe. Now what? Now what? Are you willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins? Now is the time. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. We'd like you to begin your journey of discipleship here. We want you to come down. Now this is the awkward moment where people don't know what to do. This is what you do. If you desire to be baptized, see, here is water. It's time.